This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Chinese companies hoping to buy a U.S. stock exchange get a big no. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The Chicago Stock Exchange. It's not as big or as famous as the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange, but it is a U.S. stock exchange, and a consortium of Chinese companies has been trying to buy it. Well, they've got their answer from the SEC. Not gonna happen. With us this morning live is Marketplace's Mariel Seguera. Mariel, can you tell us more about this deal?
It's been in the works for a couple years. A group of investors, including three Chinese-led companies, wanted to buy the exchange, and the exchange only accounts for about 0.5% of U.S. trades, but this sale was still controversial because lawmakers and other critics said if you allow Chinese companies to buy part of a U.S. stock exchange, you could be giving the Chinese government influence over the American financial system. Eventually, two of the Chinese investors pulled out of the deal, so there was only one left. And last year, the SEC planned to approve the sale, but then the agency's commissioner postponed the decision. And now the commissioners have voted against the deal.
Do we know why that happened? Why is that?
The SEC said the exchange's parent company hadn't proven that it would be able to follow certain rules to stop one owner from controlling the exchange. Also, because the lead investment firm would have been Chinese-owned, the SEC said it might not be able to access the records it needs to regulate the exchange. And the Chicago Stock Exchange's parent company could now appeal the decision in federal court. Or cut the Chinese company out of the deal.
Okay, Marketplace's Mariel Seguera, thank you. And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the less than a 0.1% range, with the Dow future up 12 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is continuing its march upward at 2.89%. Today, we are going to find out from the Commerce Department how many new homes began construction in January of 2017. Economists think we're going to see a rebound after a big drop in December. The folks who build homes, it turns out, are pretty optimistic about the future. The problem is that they just can't build fast enough to meet sharply rising demand, Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
There are still way more people looking to move into new homes than there are homes available, says Lawrence Yoon, chief economist with the National Association of Realtors.
It's been slow, sluggish recovery under production in new homes for 10 straight years.
Construction of single-family housing units did hit a 9-year high in 2017, but Yoon says builders mostly put up expensive houses, not the starter homes in greatest demand right now.
I hope that the builders can begin to focus more on the entry-level homes because that's where one experiences the acute housing inventory shortage.
With relatively low unemployment, some first-time buyers are finally out there searching for homes. But Aaron Terrazas at Zillow says there's a problem, a shortage of construction workers depressing inventory and pushing up prices.
That's making it difficult for them to build at that price point that most home shoppers really would like.
That labor shortage could get even worse if more restrictive immigration policies are put in place. One in four construction workers in the U.S. is foreign-born. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Later today, NBC will broadcast the men's free skating event at the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics, where skaters from around the world are taking the ice to show off their jumps and spins and quads and names that I'm not entirely familiar with. This year, the first year figure skaters are allowed to skate to songs with lyrics. So skaters are using pop songs, which brings up a question. Who pays for the rights to use them? Marketplace's Andy Eula reports.
When 19-year-old Italian figure skater Matteo Rizzo hits the ice for his free skate, you might feel like you're watching him skate to a classic rock station. Rizzo uses a medley of Come Together, Let It Be, and Help by the Beatles. Steve Winogradsky, the guy who wrote Music Publishing, The Complete Guide, says the question for figure skaters at the Olympics who want to use a particular song is pretty simple.
Do they need to get permission? And the answer is no.
So why is that?
That's because it's really treated as a live performance.
Amy E. Mitchell's an entertainment lawyer in Texas. She says the live performance falls under a blanket agreement broadcasters have with artists. It gives NBC permission to broadcast a piece of music from a public commercial setting. And it's considered live, even though many of the broadcasts from the Olympics in South Korea are on a tape delay. It's much different from when a production company wants to use a song for a TV show or a movie. That requires a synchronization fee. And for a bunch of Beatles songs, that's going to cost six figures, easy.
Sing fees are really where you can get into some intense negotiations or the dreaded no response or a rejection of a license request.
The live performance license is a lot easier to obtain. NBC wouldn't comment on the specifics of the music licensing agreement that covers the Olympics, but the live performance fees are collected and distributed by performing rights organizations. ASCAP and BMI are the big ones in the U.S. Winogradsky says artists should be happy if a skater decides to use their song.
The writers and publishers will see a bump because it's a network performance that they might not have already had.
That is, as long as NBC keeps track of all the songs, says Susie Weston, a music licensing consultant.
They need to put on a music cue sheet exactly what song was performed, who the writers are, who the publisher is.
But ASCAP and BMI are still catching up with the way we consume content nowadays. Again, Steve Winogradsky.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens after these Olympics. How many of these skating performances actually end up online unauthorized and will eventually get taken down?
So if you want to go back and stream a French skater jumping and twirling to Beyonce, you better act fast. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer this week is Ben Tolliday. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.